Hello, my name's Jenny Freeman, and I'd like to welcome you to stage two of our walk. You should now be outside the Princess Quay Shopping Centre, which is the start of stage two. In front and to your right, you'll see some railings. This is what used to be the Prince's Dock. It was the third of Hull's town docks and was opened in 1829. We'll see the second dock, which is now the marina, later on in the walk. If you look closer at the railings, you'll see there's a street sign saying Monument Bridge. You'll also see that there's neither a monument or a bridge. This is from the days when round here was a thriving dockland area. Before 1930, where you're now standing was the bridge. It was open three or four times a day for 30 or 40 minutes at a time to allow the movement of ships between Prince's Dock and the Queen's Dock. Queen's Gardens is where the Queen's Dock used to be. The monument it refers to is the Wilberforce Monument, a 90-foot high column, on top of which is a 12-foot high statue of William Wilberforce, that famous son of Hull. He was a politician, philanthropist, social reformer, and a driving force in the movement to abolish slavery. The monument was moved in 1934 as part of a traffic reorganisation. It now stands at the east end of Queen's Gardens in front of the Hull College, and you'll see it later on in the walk. You can see how Queen Victoria Square and Prince's Dock used to look if you go to the Now and Then section of our website. If you now walk forward about 20 metres, you'll have arrived at the site of what remains of the historic Beverley Gate. This is where, on St George's Day in 1642, the Governor of Hull, Sir John Hotham, refused King Charles I entry to the town, and perhaps more importantly, access to the armaments that were stored within. At that time, Hull had the largest arsenal outside London. You can see what a great job's been done in uncovering and preserving the site. There's a viewing area where you can look down onto the excavated brickwork, and on the side of the barrier is an interesting verse which tells the story of that fateful and historic time. If you care to go down the steps for a closer look, you'll be able to see the blue plaque which reads, "Site of the principal entrance of the ancient walled and fortified town, circa 1321 to circa 1780. Here, Sir John Hotham, the governor, denied entry in 1642 to King Charles I, the first overt act of the Civil War. Hull was a fully walled town from the 14th century until the middle of the 18th, and Beverley Gate was the main entrance. By the mid-1750s, the walls were beginning to crumble, and the north wall was demolished in the 1770s to make way for the Queen's Dock. Now Queen's Gardens. Now then, what's that we can hear? Have we drifted back in time to 1642? Shh, keep very quiet and stay close to the railings, and we should be okay.
Who goes there?
An emissary from His Majesty King Charles, who commands John Hotham, governor of this town, open these gates.
So, King Charles waits at the city gates, does he? 'Tis not me he travels from York to woo, but my position as controller of the largest arsenal of weapons in England.
Open! In the name of the king!
Never!
But you must, John. Who knows what will be unleashed otherwise?
I know what I unleash. These gates will remain closed.
Well, the gates did remain closed, and the king declared Sir John a traitor. This was the first act of defiance to the king at the beginning of the English Civil War. Although most of the north of England was royalist, in typical Hull style, we sided with Cromwell and the parliamentarians. After many changes of allegiance and various battles, Sir John eventually did meet the fate of a traitor and was beheaded on London's Tower Hill in 1645. By the parliamentarians, I might add. And therein lies a whole other story, for another time maybe. You can see lots more information about Hull and the Civil War in the Want to Know More section of our website. We now move to the junction in front of you, Princess Dock Street and Whitefriar Gate. Here in Hull, we pronounce this Whitefriargate, just one of Hull's many idiosyncratic pronunciations. There'll be more about Whitefriargate later on in the walk. So could you now turn right and walk down the right-hand pavement of Princess Dock Street for about 30 metres until you're opposite Rowland House, and then wait a moment. You'll probably have noticed I keep referring to Hull as a town. We weren't actually granted city status until 1897 as part of Queen Victoria's Golden Jubilee celebrations. Should still be on the right-hand pavement of Princess Dock Street, facing Rowland House. So let's have a closer look at the buildings opposite. The second brick building in with two half cellars with brick arches was formerly Colonial Chambers. Built in 1846, it's thought to be Hull's first purpose-built office block. As you can see, it's now a coffee shop and restaurant. Now let's have a look at Rowland House itself. It was formerly the Ferrers Hospital Almshouse. It was built in 1822, before Princess Dock was opened. It's now office premises. What with the building and then operating of the dock, I imagine it would have been a very noisy, bustling place to live back then. Notice that triangular pediment above the door and the inverted anchor in the centre of the shield. Well, this is the coat of arms of Trinity House, who owned this property and also all those behind it. Trinity House was granted a royal charter in 1541, and this building was erected in 1753. Trinity House is yet another important and proud part of Hull's history. The striking building with the archway next to Rowland House is Zebedee's Yard. This was the entrance to Trinity House Academy, a nautical college founded in 1787, and it takes its name from its longest-serving headmaster, Zebedee Skaping. He was the headmaster for over 50 years in the 19th century. The college actually moved to new modern premises in 2013. Now, please continue walking down on this side of Princess Dock Street until you see a small street on the left called Purston Gate, but pronounced in Hull as Poston Gate. When you reach Poston Gate, please wait a moment. On your right is what was Junction Dock, so called because when it opened in 1829, it was the junction between Humber Dock, now the Marina, and Queen's Dock, now, as you know, Queen's Gardens. This, in effect, made the then centre of Hull an island which could only be accessed over one of four bridges. Junction Dock was actually renamed Princess Dock following a visit of Queen Victoria and Prince Albert in 1854. The Princess Quay Shopping Centre over there, built on stilts over the water, was opened in the early 1990s. You can see how Princess Dock looked in the late 1950s in the Now and Then section of the website. If you look down here, you'll see set in the pavement a metre-wide row of terracotta-coloured bricks. These are brindle bricks, and they indicate the outline of the old town wall, including the turrets and gates. Over 4.5 million bricks were used to build the wall, and these were mostly made locally. It offered great protection during a very insecure period in English history, and it allowed the town and its inhabitants to prosper. We're now opposite the end of Poston Gate, and if you look down at the brindle bricks again, you'll see the outline of a narrow gate in the town wall. This acted as a sort of checkpoint for when the main gates were closed. It allowed one person in or out of the town at a time, and it was indeed called a Purston Gate. I'm sure you'll have noticed across the street to the left there's an attractive row of Georgian houses, which are now mainly restaurants and cafe bars. It's a nice place to stop if you're in need of refreshments, but if you're not ready for a break yet, come with me, cross over the street watching out for traffic, and stop on the right-hand side of Postern Gate. Please take care down here, as there may be one or two delivery vans around, and the pavement's quite uneven. Before we set off down, you'll see on the right-hand corner a building called Attic. It was built in 1831 as a warehouse, but it's been part of Hull's nightclub scene in one guise or another since the 1970s. Now, if you look down at the pavement just here, you'll see moulded into the brick sets is a shoal of herring. These are part of our celebrated fish trail, an alternative guided tour around Hull. You'll come across quite a few of the fishy images as we take our walk. Keep walking down Postern Gate, and on the left you'll come to a typical townhouse dated 1862. Most probably this was a wealthy merchant's house, perfectly located adjacent to the docks. Yes, even back then, location was the key. Next we see the other entrance to Zebedee's Yard. And at this point, you may wish to pause the recording to go in to see the memorial to the 6,000 fishermen who left Hull for faraway fishing grounds, but who tragically never returned. Carry on walking, and soon we'll cross over Dagger Lane. A sinister name for a street, if ever there was one. On the corner, we come to a building called The Mission. Since 1995, it's been a pub and a restaurant, but it was built in 1866 as a seaman's mission. If you choose to go in here, you'll notice this has a kind of church-like ambience. With its stained glass windows and pews, it's really quite atmospheric. Opposite The Mission, a large pair of buildings with a passageway in between. These were originally built in 1864 as mercantile marine offices. This is where the ship's crews would be engaged and discharged. Goodness, what was that? Was it the ghostly sound of monks chanting? Now, coming into view on your left is Carmelite House, a Grade II listed building. This is interesting as much for the origin of the name as for the building itself. The name comes from the Carmelite monastery that stood on this land in the 14th century. The monks, or friars, wore white habits, and this gave the name to the street behind here, Whitefriargate, or, of course, in Hull, Whitefriargate. The building you see now was completed in 1826 as an almshouse for Trinity House. You can find out more about Hull's monasteries and monks in our Want to Know More section. Opposite Carmelite House is number 6 Postern Gate, and as the phrase above the door says, this was once the parochial offices for Holy Trinity Church, now the Hull Minster, and St Mary's Church in Lowgate, and it was built in 1864. You'll see St Mary's Church in stage 8 of the walk. Back over the street again and next to Carmelite House, there's a light-coloured building with a blue plaque, and it tells us that this was once the Harry Lazarus Hotel. It was used during the latter decades of the 19th century to house and feed some of the many thousands of European transmigrants who passed through Hull on their way to a new life in America. There's much more about the 19th century migration through Hull in our Want to Know More section. Ahead of you and to the left is Trinity Market. It's had a fairly recent refurbishment, but there's been a market here in one form or another for over 100 years, and records show that a market has actually existed in the vicinity since 1469. Look up and you'll see the dome of the impressive bell tower. At the foot of the tower, you'll see the entrance to St Paul's Boxing Club, And this is where Luke Campbell, Hull's bantamweight gold medalist from the 2012 Olympics, actually started his boxing career. Now, if you make your way to the end of Poston Gates and the corner of Trinity House Lane, once there, you'll have arrived in Trinity Square with the magnificent Hull Minster in front of you. You can hear about Hull Minster, which before 2017 was known as Holy Trinity Church, at the beginning of Stage 3 of the walk. So for now, please cross over the end of Trinity House Lane and stand in front of the Kingston Hotel pub and turn round. That impressive building opposite is Trinity House. It gets its name from Holy Trinity Church and was originally set up to look after visiting seamen. Trinity House has occupied this site since the 14th century. Look up, being careful of passing traffic and people, and see the wonderfully ornate 3-bay pediment over the main entrance of the house. With its reclining figures, a unicorn, lion and shield, it's well worth a couple of minutes of your time. In 1541, Henry VIII awarded a royal charter to Trinity House. Known as the Guild of the Holy Trinity, it reads, that they might regulate the pilotage of ships in the King's Streams. And they did exactly that until the passing of the Pilotage Act in 1987. Almost 450 years of service. I think you'll agree that really is a record to be proud of. As from March 2022, it's been possible to book a guided tour around this wonderful building. The tours are on selected Mondays throughout the year. For details and tickets, just visit the Ticket Source website. If we now look to the right of the front door, we see a green plaque which bears the name Thomas Ferris, Master Mariner, Warden of Hull Trinity House, Mayor and Sheriff, significant benefactor to Hull Trinity House, leaving this estate for the benefit of distressed and needy seafarers. Thomas Ferris was indeed a great benefactor to Hull's Trinity House. And if you'd like to go to the Want to Know More section on our website, you'll be able to read about his fascinating life in the story, The Beggar's Bridge, a Hull story of adventure, love and romance. Also down here are two pubs of particular interest. The first, just behind you, the Kingston, is a typical mid-Victorian pub, with one room built around a central bar. The other one, a bit further down, the Bonny Boat, is known to have traded as early as 1791. And again, it has a single room with lots of fascinating memorabilia that reflect Hull's nautical past. Both of these pubs are worth a look, if you have any time to spare. Well, you're now at the end of stage two of the walk, and I really do hope you've enjoyed it. If you could turn round and go back past Trinity House into Trinity Square, and when you're ready to continue the walk, press stage three. It's Trinity Square to the Marina on your handset.